Okay, all right, let's go ahead and get started. I think most of you were here earlier when I showed the slide that showed the gauntlet and curve of what's happening for our budget, right? I showed you that. And the reason I showed about the students and about what happened out here is a lot of our representatives and senators, either they talked about the process or they said, guys, you need to weigh in. You need to tell us how you feel about a lot of different proposals that are coming down the pipe.
Are there people on the phone? Because you might want to speak in the microphone.
Okay, so, but one of the things that the students really benefited from was a presentation by the LIO down in Juneau to try, how do we access information? When they're down there, how do they access information? But also, when they go back, what's the best way and the most effective way to gain information and to be able to stay involved? So it was very valuable and very informative, and that's why I invited Jenny, who works at the LIO here in town, to give a presentation on how to access information. So she's going to be spending half hour, 45 minutes, explaining how to access the information. Now, we do have some people online. Is that correct?
No.
Not right now. Okay. That makes it a little easier, but I've also invited my class to come here, so they will be online. So what we're going to use is the internet here, and the internet site. So that doesn't have to be up there. We can pull up the internet, your site, Jeannie. No, using that computer right there. Jenny, it's at Halfley. Is that correct?
I got to get used to the keyboard.
Now, do we have a call-in number?
Yes.
We do. I want to get that because I want to have people call in on that. People that. So, if I can get that number from you, I'll take it. Okay.
Okay. Bear with me. I'm not used to the keyboard. So for any of you guys who have been online and visited So Mike, you chair the legislative committee with the group here? No? Okay. So if any of you guys have been familiar with the Alaska Legislature website, a good thing to note is they've changed our web domain. So instead of this long, drawn-out legis.state.ak.us that we've normally seen, last month they changed this to akleg.gov, which is shorter and sweeter and easier to use. So this is the homepage that you'll see. It's pretty easy to use, but there's a lot of information there when you arrive at the homepage here. One of the first things that we recommend that you do is, visit the Senate pages, visit the House pages, and explore some of the legislators that you might be targeting when it comes to your legislative purposes, whether or not you are looking to take action in Alaska statute, whether you're looking to, get money for capital projects. We definitely recommend that, do your homework, just like, we tell our students before they go out and get a job to do their homework about the companies they're applying to. So do your homework with the legislators. A lot of the pages, they have, family information, interests, how long that they've, been in the legislature, things that their accomplishments and awards. So familiarize yourself with those. The Alaska Legislature doesn't have a clear policy yet on social media. So naturally, we're recommending one of the things that you do is surf the web, look at their Facebook pages and Twitter accounts, and some people still have campaign sites up or even individual blogs. And those are good areas to get information about the legislators that you're interested in and, you know, things that they are working on or things that they are passionate about. So after you do that, gosh, I wish there was a law. The next best place to visit is this publications tab right up here. And here you'll find the majority of information that will answer a lot of your questions, whether or not you have questions about the Constitution, whether or not you have questions about how to get a hold of your legislator. There's phone numbers, emails, other areas to explore before you start jumping into legislation is, you know, take a look at this glossary of legislative terms. You know, the languages that they use in the legislature is very different than what we use every day. And so taking a look at those glossaries, familiarizing yourself with the terms will be helpful when you work your way through the process. Or okay. Do I accept this?
Yes.
Are you afraid we might bug your computer? So some of it's simple. Some of it you know, you're familiar with, but some of it you might not. So that's a good spot to take a look at as you start to work your way through the process.
Who's joined us online?
So just to give you guys a quick example, in your packets, I provided information for your Ontario delegation. Many of them are new, as you know, with the new redistricting lines. And so some of these people you may have to familiarize yourself with from scratch. Many of them that you know, many of them you won't. But take a look. They also have new district numbers, district letters, because of those redistricting areas. That interior delegation list has all the information you need to contact your interior delegation. There's an email format right at the top of how to get a hold of each of them. And the format is the same for all of your legislators. So we'll go up, we'll go down. So we'll just give you a quick example of maybe some legislation that we saw last year. Something to note with the Alaska State Legislature webpage is if you are looking for old legislation, they do it based on the legislative term. And so I've just clicked on the 27th legislature, which has moved my entire system into that old file. So if I'm going to search for a bill that they saw last, let's go House Bill 15. So I'll just give you a quick, oh, go ahead.
There's some people now coming online here.
Oh, sure.
So maybe you could just tell them kind of where you are right now.
Sure. If you jump online on your computer, go to akleg.gov, which is short for alaskalegislature.gov, akleg.gov. And if you click on the Bills and Laws tab, you can scroll down to the bottom and click on the 27th legislature. And that's brought me into the archived site for the legislature so I can view old legislation in real time. So in my search, I typed in HB 15, which was, I guess, kind of a simple bill about that Representative Mike Dugan had introduced about concussions in student athletes. And this is just kind of an example of what you'll see when you visit a bill page and all the information that you'll find. And in your packet, there is a little kind of half sheet that talks about how to read a bill once you get into the text. But this is where all the meat of the legislation is. Here you'll find the process. Mm-hmm.
Just one thing I want to point out here is, you know, it was interesting for me because I'm kind of not of the electronic age, but I was there when it was. But all the stuff that a legislator has in terms of its backup material, all that is included in these packets, all electronically downloaded and available. Everything that the legislature has is it would be in here by committee.
Right, by bill.
By bill.
Yeah. Every time a legislator walks into a committee room, he's handed a bill packet, which basically a three-ring binder that contains everything that has to do with that bill, whether or not it's the bill itself, whether or not it's a committee substitute, whether or not there are additional documents, research, testimony, anything that a legislator needs to know about the legislation that's in front of him. And so all of those documents can be found on this little documents button. So if you click on that, it takes you to all of that backup information. And so that's another area that you can find everything that they are. You can find this is where you'll find committee substitutes. This is where you're going to find fiscal notes. If the finance department has submitted documents saying that the law will cost money or the law won't cost money, so you'll find all of the information here in this documents page. So this is an older legislative file. So you can also go and view minutes and audio if you miss the committee meeting. You want to see exactly what they said. They transcribe it into paper format. They also have it in audio format. And then I'll also show you later how to find it in a video format. But this is just an example of the action. If you display committee action with the bill history, it expands it, what you see on the page. And if I scroll down, it will kind of give you play-by-play action on that bill. It will tell you that it was a pre-filed bill, which means the legislator knew he wanted to sponsor this legislation and pre-filed it before the legislative session even started so that it was on the docket, ready to go and be assigned a number. And it was read for the first time on the House floor and then referred to House Education and Health and Social Services Committee. And as you proceed down the line, you see co-sponsors who signed on. You can see where the bill was heard in committee, where it was substituted for a committee substitute, which means the bill changed, and it works its way all the way down the line. You can see with this expanded version who gave it a due pass, who voted for it, who didn't vote for it. You can see, you know, that there's a fiscal note attached to it down on the 31st of March that the Finance Division said that this law won't cost any money. And those are the types of things legislators look for when they pass these bills on. They want to know, okay, if we pass this law, what are the social repercussions? What are the financial repercussions? So they're looking for those documents as well.
Does everybody know what a fiscal note is? Okay, fiscal note means what does it cost? What is it going to cost? And I brought this fiscal note here for Senate Bill 21, the oil tax bill, and this is from the department. This shows you the cost of that bill. They have to give that information to the legislature. So what does the bill cost?
Yeah. What is it? So.
And if you want to see it, this is the slide that you moved to us. That's the fiscal note. So that's the cost of that bill.
Open that.
If you have some questions, there's some questions that you want to go. How about how to find this? Denny's here to kind of walk us through this. So if you have some questions on this, please don't hesitate to ask, right?
Right. Open. There we go.
Hello, this is Sean. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I just wanted to let you know, your voice is really hard to hear. You're very faded right now.
Okay, is that
mine or my
whose?
Yours is.
Okay, well I was too far from the mic, but thanks for telling us.
Okay, and also there's a student here on eLive, Sherry Wessner, who has dialed in, but all she's hearing is beeps. Nobody's talking at all. So I just wanted to let you know that.
All right. Well, I can't get up. Whatever reason, this room is not allowing me on eLive. So can you shoot her the number to call in on?
I did. She already had it. She called in and just couldn't hear anything.
All right. Well, have her try again, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
So this is what a fiscal note looks like. One of the documents that Mr. Davis had talked about was a budget overview that you have in there that talks a lot about that fiscal note and is more of an overview and explaining some of those fiscal notes. But this is kind of what a standard fiscal note will look like, and it will outline, you know, what the legislation is, and if this bill was going to cost any money, what would it cost? So this is probably a poor example because this was a straightforward statute change, and so it didn't cost any money. We'll take a look at something recent.
Jenny, yeah, I would suggestion. Maybe we should show them that bill that just went on the House floor yesterday, or maybe today, right?
You were curious earlier about the wastewater discharge bill.
Right.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
To what extent are the fiscal notes based on partisan assumptions, or how reliable does the legislature as a whole feel that they are?
They are nonpartisan fiscal attachments. They come directly from the Legislative Finance Division. Just like the Legislative Legal Services, a Legislative Finance Division, the Legislative Audit Division, nonpartisan. And so it's straightforward, black and white numbers.
But I think that chart that I showed you earlier of that downturn, that had a zero fiscal note. It wasn't. So sometimes the fiscal notes are incorrect, and sometimes the department will come in with a very large fiscal note, and the legislature will zero it out or say, you're gonna do this, and we're not giving you any money for it. So sometimes that happens as well.
So when Mr. Davis was in the office earlier, we watched a little bit of what was happening on the House floor with House Bill 80, which was an act relating to the regulation of wastewater discharge from commercial passenger vehicles, which was all the big cruise ships down south, which is a big topic. Something that we wanted to chat about with the legislative process this year, and for everyone to be aware of legislation, is how a bill just like this was read for the first time on the 18th, and it was only referred to one committee. And so you generally know when a bill is referred to one committee that it may be moving very quickly. So it just has one group to move through.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. And the other thing, you can see what the votes were like. There was amendments on the floor right here. And you see 11 votes, 12 votes, you know, the bill. They had the minority has no votes to change whatever's going before the legislature now. That's what that indicates down there.
Yeah, and we're expecting that a lot this year, based on the majority, the Republican majority in the Senate, and the Republican majority in the House, and a Republican governor. We are expecting a lot of legislation to move quickly because they have the votes and they have the support to move things through fast and efficiently. So this was something that was interesting today. Even though it was only referred to one committee and it moved through relatively quickly, you can see how on the 1st, which was Friday, it was sent back to the Rules Committee, which then assigns the calendar. So it showed up on the floor this morning. But as soon as it showed up, what happened was a legislator stood up and asked for them to roll the calendar back, which meant he wanted to say, hold on 1 minute. We're in our third reading. I would like to roll the calendar back. I want to take a step back. I want to move it back to the second reading because I want to talk about this some more, and I have some amendments I want to make. So this morning they spent quite a bit of time talking about 1, 2, 3 amendments, which you can see eventually they all failed, and then it moved into its third reading and passed 27-4.
And I can, if you don't mind me.
Or 27-9.
If you don't mind, it's third reading. All bills have to be read 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Time was introduced, and then the second reading, you can't, and then the third reading. You can the votes, they have the votes now in the House and the Senate to automatically go from second to third, but you have to do that in a motion.
Right. So another thing the legislature likes to address is the effective date of the legislation. They like to submit when the legislation will become effective, because if they leave that part out, then it will automatically become law 90 days after the governor signs it. So by stipulating an effective date, it helps them, you know, control when these laws will go on the books. So just to go back up here a little bit and show you what this bill looks like, if I can get back up here. I'm going to find it in the full text button. So this is what the bill looks like. Short bill, 3 pages.
Bill you're looking at right now on the website?
Yes, sir. If you go to akleg.gov, and then in the search tab, type in HB80. That'll take you to, 80. That'll take you to the bill that we were chatting about.
Okay, thanks.
And then once you get to that bill, you can click on the button that says full text, and it will take you to the bill.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at any bill, you can look at that little half sheet that I handed out, and that will explain a lot to you about what some of those little tidbits are. But some of the most important things to note are the bold underlined sections are sections that they are adding into the laws, and the capitalized bracketed text is what they are deleting.
This is Olga. Can you say the website again?
It's akleg.gov. So we say akledge.gov. If you have access to the, you know, if you have the internet, just you can also Google Alaska State Legislature, and
okay,
that will take you to a search.
Any questions? So this particular bill is basically repealing a lot of the restrictions that were put in place before.
Right. Exactly. So that the tour, when we were down there, the tour industry lobbyist or lobby was I saw him in the halls, and yeah, that's why this thing moved fast. And yes, now the tour operators will. They won't have to. They can basically now. They can discharge polluted water basically in the inlets. A lot of people are very concerned about this legislation. Some people felt like the restrictions on all these boats early on was too much. Now they're rolling it back.
So that's what we saw this morning on the House floor.
And in your website, I don't know when that'll be on, but you can also then go right to the website and see the debate. Is that correct?
Yep, you sure can. So again, if you, I guess I got lost there. So at some point, you know, they work as quickly and efficiently as they can. So the minutes and the audio will be available through the documents button, like I mentioned. But all of our committee hearings, you can watch live on our alaskalegislature.tv. So even if you're sitting in your office, you can just log on to that. You can view what's going on in every committee meeting throughout the legislative session. Every floor and every Senate session, where all of those legislators get together in one big room and hash out the legislation, can be found on Gavel to Gavel on TV, as well as online through the gavelalaska.org website. So in a lot of that information I provided to you guys just in sort of a little handout that gives you those email or those web addresses. I guess I will. I can show you. You want how we can find it.
Well,
You know what? I don't know. What do you guys want to see? Maybe just go to what's live right now on the what's on in the committees right now.
Okay.
You guys are not app committee questions.
I know, not as many as your students in Juneau.
My students were way better than you guys.
So you can find access to all of those quick links on the homepage of akledge.gov. And something new this year is they've posted the live meetings right at the top here. This takes you to another website where there's different tabs that will show you what's going on now, what's upcoming, and what's been archived. So you can click on any committee meeting, and you can see the committee
Jenny just
in real time.
Just clicked on Senate resources for those of you people who are online.
So that's at akl.tv, and we're taking a look at the committee room, taking testimony in Senate resources. We can go back to our legislative webpage. Can I get there? If I start a new tab. Sorry, that light is kind of bright in my... And on the very on the homepage there, you can click on the committee meeting, and it will tell you exactly what they're discussing in that meeting today. So you can see that they're discussing two Senate bills, and each of them have posted that they are taking public testimony on those items. Public testimony is usually limited to about 3 minutes, which goes by faster than you expect it to. And the chair of the committee is in charge of how they run their 3 minutes. And some of them are quick and efficient, and they'll cut you right off if you go over. And depending on time and what the queue is, they might let you go a little longer. So once you look in once you visit this committee hearing for today, there's a little square button right there that looks like a file tab. And we click on that, and that gives us all of the accompanying documents that are added there by the committee aide. And these are, again, these are all of the bits and pieces of information that the legislator has in front of them right now. And they add them as the day goes on, and they add them as they get them. You can see down below there's an opposition letter from a couple of different people that have been submitted. And so that's another thing to remember. If you submit written testimony to committees, it's a matter of public record. So if you write a letter to the committee opposing or supporting legislation, it's part of the record, part of the packet, and it will go online. So if you ever find out that maybe you missed something and you want to go back and take a look at it, you can always search. If you go up to the Bills and Laws tab and you go to a hearing search, you can search the schedules that maybe you missed by date. So you could put your dates in there, and it will bring up any committee meeting that maybe you missed that you want to revisit. You can also do that through the gavelalaska.org website. And that is the spot that archives all of our video footage. And it's a great way to go back and listen and see what kind of reaction the committee has during the hearing.
Jenny, did you go over to the publication section already? Did you already go on that?
Yeah, we did, just briefly, with most of the contact pages, and I brought some of those with you guys today. And, you know, that publications page, it's really helpful. None of it is, you know, difficult to understand, but it's time-consuming. There's a lot of information there, so that if you go and visit, it just takes time to work through. So this is a 360 North page. You can go up to the Gavel Archives, and you can see where they've archived all the videos that maybe you've missed. You can see what the schedule is going to be for the rest of the day on TV. you can see what the schedule is going to be for the rest of the day on the website, so you can plan accordingly. At the Fairbanks Legislative Information Office, all of the teleconference meetings are available anytime. So if you have a poor internet connection, or you just want a quiet place to watch or listen or even testify, you can come down and see us anytime, and we'll get that set up for you. So this is what the archive page looks like. So if you wanted to visit any of those meetings, you can do that. So for us at the Legislative Information Office, you know, our biggest thing is making sure you guys know how to stay informed. And so knowing how to access the legislation online, it's not difficult, but it does take a little time. So you can always call us if you're trying to find something and you just don't have time to look for it. Just call us and we will help you look for it. We'll email it to you right away if you just want to get it done and move forward. We're all busy and we want to help you, you know, get the information you need. Things that I brought with me today, again, they just include the, I'm going to grab this here, the contact information, telephone numbers, fax numbers, and the committee listing. You know, the committee listings are really important because depending on what kind of legislation you want to promote, it's good to know what committee that legislation is going to be heard under and who those committee members are, because not only are you going to be lobbying your interior delegation, you're going to be lobbying the committee members as well, because they have control of that legislation and they're going to either pass it or they're going to not pass it. So one of the little things that I did make up at work is just other ways for you guys to stay in, you know, involved and aware of what's going on. So if you visit the Alaska Legislative webpage, there's a little spot for you to track bills. So if you are involved and you want to keep track of a bill, and like we've said, some of these bills are going to move through the legislature very quickly. Whoops. That's my bad habit of going to searching. And you can track bills. And it's just as simple as, it's as simple as creating an account, just like we do on any of our online systems. You can use your email address and a password. And we do this for you guys over the phone if you're not familiar. But I'll log into this, into mine. That I. And unfortunately, if you're online, you won't be able to, if you're on the phone, you won't be able to see what I'm doing to right now. So the only one that I opened this morning, and I started a folder, and it's called oil and gas. And so if I want to look at that folder, it will show me that I have House Bill number 4 in my folder. And every time something happens to that bill, it will send me an automatic email update that says that bill is moving, that bill has been heard, there's been discussion, something's going to happen with it. And as soon as that website is updated, I'm going to know about it. Because if things move fast as we expect them to, you're going to want to know. Something that's tricky with committees is if a bill's been heard in the committee before, it doesn't require the same amount of time and notification as a new bill does. So if that committee's heard it before, they can bring it up under the term bills previously heard. Something to also note as we get closer to the end of session, we're only 90 days, so it moves fast. So something else to note is they have a 24-hour rule. So if we get to the point where the legislature is winding down, they have legislation they need to pass, they might elect a conference committee which represents both houses so they can collaborate and make decisions on legislation. And that enacts what's called the 24-hour rule. And so legislators and committees are no longer required to give 24 hours notice to legislation. So that is a time at the end of the session where things move even faster than they will now because the 24-hour notice isn't required. So definitely watch for that as the legislature winds down.
And it says a 7-day rule, but I think they have to post it the Thursday for by Thursday at 5:00 perhaps.
Right.
And then that's for the following week. So it could be scheduled for Monday morning, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So So can you tell me again how you get that email update?
Sure.
What do I do?
Yeah. If you go to the Alaska State Legislature homepage, you can click on this little link that says Track Bills. And that little link that says Track Bills is peppered all throughout the website. So if you're on another page, you'll certainly be able to find it. You basically would create your own unique account ID number, which is generally based on your email and a password. And that takes you to this, what we call management facility. I don't want to use the word primitive because the web page isn't as visually easy to work with, but it's straightforward. And you would either update the folders that you have, delete the folders you have, start new folders, or take a look at the folders that you have. And so this is just the one that I have. I have a little check mark next to the email notification, so I get little emails. There's also down at the bottom that you can see there's an RSS feed if you're a reader user and you tend to track your information through your reader. And what they have new this year that's on there is immediate text messages. Mr. Davis just learned how to text message recently. So there's a 1559 number listed on this little piece of paper here. So all you would do is enter that number into your text message, and then you would text a bill number. So I've sent the words, or I've sent the letters HB4 to that number. And so now not only am I getting real-time emails, I'm getting real-time text messages. Because now, you know, in this fast-paced world, we're not always at our email either. So a text message is even faster with keeping up with moving legislation. So if you are tracking that, if you're tracking bills, I would recommend you definitely start with the Bill Tracking Management Facility. Another good thing to note as we move through the technology age is they have iPhone apps. And they have Android apps, so you can just search on the, you know, iTunes or the Google Play, and download the apps that work for your phone. They also have it for iPad if you're an iPad user, and you can also find those links on the homepage here. And the iPad app shows everything that you see online here, and all of the information is accessible. And it even includes web streaming. So if you have access to Wi-Fi, you got it? Yeah, he uses it. If you have access to Wi-Fi and even 3G, it'll stream the committee meetings straight through your phone, which is fantastic, and I've used it on many occasions.
One of the things that happened when I was in Juneau is I got texts from legislators. Ask, you know, they were texting me where am I supposed to be, or, you know, so the smartphone is, you know, it's down there and it's alive and well for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they're using it, some more than others, but most legislators are carrying around a smartphone.
Yeah. Well, and as you guys know, if you text, you get immediate, you just get the information that you need and you want, because sometimes a phone call can be cumbersome and time consuming. So if legislators have questions, or if you have, you know, an inside track to staff members to get information that you need, the text message is a quick and easy way to do that. So we talked about the gavel site. Another thing that, you know, I mentioned before was the legislature doesn't have a solid policy on social media. So if you're interested in legislation, or you're interested in a certain legislator or group of legislators and what they're doing, what I do at work is, you know, I follow everybody on Twitter. And I don't know if you guys are Twitter users, but it's not difficult to do. I'm not a user. I mean, I don't tweet, but it's a venue where I can get information, and I have it open on my computer, and I can click on it and just see quick, instant feeds from different folks. I follow, you know, the House Majority, the House Minority, the Senate Majority, Minority, as well as different legislators and groups. And so, again, just using social media to keep updated on the legislation is priceless, because sometimes information comes out through social media that we won't get through the official website and through the public domain until hours later.
Yeah, and that's something. When we met also with the press down there, we had a press panel anyway, and that's what they said. That's another source, and that's they're following it as well.
Right, and I follow lots of different members of the press assigned to the Juneau area as well, because they're down there, they're in the halls, and when they learn of information and they're ready to publish it, they tweet it. So that's another good way. Another option to keep track of legislators or bills that you're interested in is to sign up for Google Alerts. Google Alerts is kind of like our bill tracking management system, but you just type in keywords, names, and you have instant results sent to your email in real time. So those are just other options that aren't associated with the Alaska Legislature on how you can keep track of everybody and everything that's happening down there to the best of your abilities.
You know, it might be interesting, maybe they've done this, but to just go to a legislator's webpage just to show them, or maybe a couple of examples of maybe one that's sort of techno savvy and one that's not or something. But anyway, it might be good to just go to a legislator webpage if they want to actually get a hold of an individual legislator.
Right. Well, because we don't have the greatest social policy in place yet, we don't necessarily have links to those external webpages online. The legislature hasn't put them up yet. So you'd have to just Google a legislator that you're interested in and find. Are you talking about their legislative webpage?
Yeah, their legislative webpage.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is their legislative webpage, and we were looking at Senator Coghill's earlier today, and we were chatting about how important it was before you, before you go down there and approach your legislators to learn about them, to visit these pages, to see who they are, what they do, their accomplishments, and so that you, when you walk in and you meet them face-to-face, you have an understanding of what kind of person they are and their interests they have, and you can make connections that way. But what I also recommended to them earlier was there's other ways to find information like that, too. They all have Facebook pages. A lot of them have blogs. Campaign pages are still up that you can visit as well. So that's kind of the information thrown at you in a short amount of time. Is there legislation that any of you guys are following right now that you want me to look up?
Yeah. What's in it, Bill 26?
That's being heard in Senate Resources. You know, we could probably just call you in right now if you wanted to testify.
Oh.
Yeah. Time is it? They're still going. So we can see that Senate Bill 26 is being heard in Senate Resources, and that they're taking testimony on it. I'm going to click on that SB 26, and it's going to take me to that bill page. It's going to give me a little synopsis of the bill in that long title, and then it will give me an opportunity to explore.
Is there any way to, is there any statistics of how many people actually interact on any bill? So let's take one bill and then you say, how many people actually are, from the...
Right. We don't know. There's not one place to get that information. People that have submitted formal testimony will be posted there, so we could count them. People that have submitted testimony in person, we could look at the transcript in the minutes when they're finished to count them. But we never really know how many people have called their legislators at their offices, have sent emails, and had sort of backroom conversations. You could call your legislator right now and express your opinion and either supporting or opposing legislation, and that won't be recorded anywhere unless you make an effort to make it part of the public record. So we don't really.
Jenny, do they still use public opinion messages? Is that now email?
You know, they do use public opinion messages, and we have that ability for you guys online. You can do that through the LAOs as well. And it's a great way to send a 50 words or less is what they ask, a 50 word statement. However, if you talk to most legislators, I think the biggest impact they will have with your opinion is real, concrete letters and testimony. They want to hear from you. They want to hear how legislation is going to impact you. And so writing letters directly really does make the biggest impact. And we can send lots of short blasts about public opinion messages, and that option is there for you. And we definitely recommend that as one avenue. But we really would like to see you follow up with the different modes of communicating with your legislator, because those public opinion messages, they come in different blasts all day long. But if you have an opportunity to call your legislator, if you have an opportunity to testify at the LAO or testify over the phone or testify in Juneau in person or call them or email them, you know, those are also ways to have the biggest impact as well.
One of the things that some people do is they do these blanket emails to all 60 legislators, and that, you know, people know that. And one of the things that several legislators told us, that if it's outside their district, it just gets tossed. They don't even bother to answer it, read it. You know, if it's not in their district, they don't care. Not all of them that way. In fact, like Fairbanks legislators, I'd say they're looking at in the Fairbanks area, but if it's coming from someplace else, they may or may not even look at it.
Right. The quick link for the public opinion messages is on the bottom of the homepage, and that's tied into the voter registration system. So you would enter in your information just as it would be seen on your voter registration card, because that's how they identify you. Because once you go into that system, they identify who you are and they identify who your legislator is. And because usually legislators, they want to hear from their constituents in their area. They want to know that their constituent is communicating with them or with other legislators. So this is what the public opinion message system sounds like. And again, you can use this web page. You can call us, and we can do it for you over the phone. We can fax it in, you know, fax it into your legislator, however you'd like to do it. But again, this public opinion message is only 50 words or less. If there is certain legislation that you're interested in or that you're passionate about and that you want your opinion known on, and you are ready to put your, you know, put your stuff on paper, put your opinion on paper, put your story on paper during the appropriate time, we can submit that to the committee. And so you're not limited to 50 words or less in that regard. As long as there is a bill that you're testifying on, we can put it on paper and we can get it to that committee. So that's the public opinion. We call them POMs, P-O-M.
A bunch of staffers, they got these buttons made that said POM with a little X to it. They handle. maybe the staff hates them too, because I think they're of limited value today.
So we'll go back to that Senate Bill 26 real quick. So,
Jeannie, let's see if there's any questions on the audio conference.
Anybody still there? So what were you interested with Senate Bill 26? Do you want me to look anything up in particular or curious about it?
Can you explain what the underlined bold words, like, what are they, I mean, it's really long. What are they trying to say?
Okay. Well, sometimes on the front of the bill, or on the bill page, you'll find a sponsor summary. And they don't have it, so I thought I would look here. I haven't read this bill.
There's also that sectional analysis. You saw that? There's a sectional analysis which goes section by section explaining the bill.
estimate?
There we go. So I'm not sure if you have that, Bill, on your computer, but where'd it go? So yeah, the section law is a little different than the sponsor summary, but it doesn't look like they have one up. So land disposals, exchange, water rights. So yeah, that's a sectional analysis is a good place to look when it comes to deciphering their intent of the bill. You see that?
And is that on that same page?
It sure is. It's on the documents page. So if you visit SB 26, you can find it under the documents section, as well as the full text of the bill. So you can see that that it's currently in Senate Resources. They heard it on February 2nd, and they've held the bill over, and they're hearing it again today. So depending on the status of that bill, they may move it out of committee, or they may keep it. So that's, it's easy.
Quick question. If we were concerned with any legislation going through regarding the university, at the end of the Senate Committee of Education,
yes. Well, they review quite a bit when it comes to university and educational issues. The University of Alaska has its own subcommittees that meet occasionally, although a lot of those committee meetings aren't teleconference. A way to keep track of some of that legislation is by subject. So if you were curious to see, can I do that? You could go into the search. Can I go back up? You would want to go and see what kind of bills and laws are out there, and you would want to search by subject. So that's a nice place to visit.
And then you can keep track by making an account.
Yep, and then you would... Exactly, yeah. So you would scroll down, and they have an education topic, but they also have a university's topic. And here you can find some of the legislation that regards the universities.
And I don't know this, maybe you know, Jenny, but the university budget, you know, that if it's a subject matter, it's going to go to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, and they'll take up that in the that committee. But if it's a budget item about the university funding, it's going right to finance. It'll go to finance. They'll be looking at the university budget, and within that, within finance, as she said, there's a subcommittee that deals with the University of Alaska. Mm-hmm. Certain legislators, and I don't know that those meetings are recorded. I don't think they are. But a lot of decisions will be made dealing with the university funding, but tracking that information, I don't think that's available yet.
So the SB40 is the appropriation for the engineering building. That was the chancellor was talking.
Mm-hmm. I want to say. Yep.
What is EDC actually in government studies?
It is short for Education Committee. So it'll say the current status is that it's in Education Committee. You can see that it was referred to Senate Education and Senate Finance. And referred to Education as well. So there hasn't been a whole lot. This bill is scheduled to be heard on the 6th of February. You can see that down at the bottom at 8 a.m. And so this would be one of those instances where if you were tracking this bill, you would have received an email alert that said, hey, put it on your schedule, 8 o'clock in the morning on the 6th.
And this, if I could say this, this bill, you see, it's there's two minority members on that. That bill probably won't pass. It may get incorporated into another bill, but more than likely that bill will not pass. It may be heard and the topic discussed, but very likely it won't pass.
Is that a general property of minority introduced bills?
That's politics, yep. See, I can say I can be a little more political because she's nonpartisan, so.
Be careful. Although Senator Ellis did talk in a press conference the other day about this bill and why they were submitting it in the form of a legislation, because a lot of times with this type of request, they're seen in requests of capital budget dollars. Sometimes they're just seen as a line item in the capital budget that can either stay in there or could get vetoed out of the budget. And this was Senator Ellis's way to raise awareness for the request, and maybe because he knows that it might not go anywhere, but this is an effort on his part to bring awareness to the state of Alaska that this is something he's interested in, get it heard through the Senate Education Committee.
Yeah, and that happens often. That the bill, they're just doing that to get some awareness, like she said. Mm-hmm. They're not planning on getting that bill passed. It's going to be incorporated someplace else.
Right.
So is there yet a Senate or House bill that has a university budget in it?
Yeah, there is. It's the actual budget bill. Budget document mm-hmm. has already been read across, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the university, it will be found. Oops, I don't know where this went.
Basically, let me understand. I mean, some senator actually has to take that so that the deal can start to build up. Is that right? Otherwise,
no.
It's
a topic, it's an appropriations bill. Okay, that's what it said. It's an appropriations bill. Okay, so Senator Ellis knows that that's an important issue, maybe for his constituents. So he introduces that bill, and the chairman of the education committee happens to be someone that he works with. So they conduct a hearing, and that gathers information, gathers people together to testify on its behalf. So he's just trying to get some momentum and get some awareness of that bill. Maybe it'll be covered by the press or whatever, and then maybe that appropriation or that topic will be incorporated into a financial bill someplace else.
So this is just a quick pull-up of the governor's capital budget. And with just a quick search of the word university, that will pull up. It'll give me an opportunity to quickly view as many university projects without having to comb through the entire thing. So here's, the first instance where we see the word university, multi-use path in Juneau, and they're requesting $5.5 million for that.
You said that's a capital budget, right? So that's different
right.
than the operating
different,
budget.
Yeah.
There's two different bills.
Yeah. But for, the building, for example, that would most likely be found as a capital budget project if it weren't introduced as legislation, right?
Right.
Well, it says one. Well, let me move through here. Well, I guess I'm not familiar with how this search button finds. But that's just one way to look through the capital budget is to search for a keyword and shift through the document looking for the word university or a keyword that maybe you're interested in. Okay. guys have been here a while. I hate to keep you. But if you have any other questions, let me know. Mike's the expert. He's been down there in the trenches.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Sure.
I read your job, so I'll